Great to have you today. Always good to be here. It's a close of the seven churches today in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to begin today by reading. We've kind of done it a couple different ways, and then we'll go to the board and look to some things to remind us. And we will next week have all those things recorded on a sheet of paper for you, so that you can put it in your file and refer to it as you'd like to. And we've added some other things because I have several things the board didn't have room to put on. So we'll have that ready for you for next week, so that you can take it and refer back to it. Because as of next week, the church will be leaving. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the voice I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither." The church is leaving. And so that is the first verse of chapter 4. Now back to finish up the church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these sayings saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today. We have the opportunity to read your precious word. I ask that you'll just touch every heart that's here today. If they have followed after a religion and not after the truth, after your precious word, then please today that just touch their hearts. Show them your love and your power and your strength. Show them, Father, through your Spirit, to the cross, to the Lord Jesus, your Son, to where he died and took all of our sins away. And Father, give them the faith and the strength and the ability to believe that your Son Jesus died for all of our sins. And then, Father, didn't just face death, but also was raised from the dead on the third day. So we not only have victory over sin, we have also life that you have handed us. So please guide and lead us now through your precious word. Give us your strength, give us your wisdom, and give us your love and joy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at the board here just for a minute, we need to recognize the condition that the church today has found themselves. And you can see we've added a few things. It is the worldly church age. It's the final state of apostasy, walking away from God, walking away from the Lord Jesus. And the church today, and really just kind of generally mankind, says the same thing, and that is, I don't need anything. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't need anything. I have everything I need. And the problem comes today is that that desire and thought of having everything, you have found in your life that you have no room and no need for Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can bring life into a condemned life, is Jesus. And yet the church, that's the church. That's that, you know, we talk about the world not desiring the truth, but the church today has left the Word of God. And the final statement there of the Laodicean church is, it is past feeling. You tell somebody that, you know, I love you and I know you and I want you to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. And they just slough it off. When the Spirit of God cannot convict and cannot divide and come right in and waken your heart up, you are past feeling. And there's only one choice for your life then, and that is that you're going to die one of these days, or Jesus is going to come and you're going to have to go into that 7 years of tribulation that we're going to start studying here shortly. Terrible, terrible time. It's going to be the closest to hell on earth during that 7 years here. Or you're going to die and find yourself in the pits of hell. And living there horribly, painfully forever. And so please, please, that you still have a heart. Now, coming kind of backwards, as we've always went this direction, we have the Church of Philadelphia. That church age, again, seven literal churches to kind of catch up. Seven literal churches are in Asia Minor. That's the ones that John was writing about, the seven literal churches. It's also seven church ages, and you can follow those, and without question, right now, we're in the seventh church age, the Church of Laodicea. However, there are also these seven literal churches are still present today. They have been through all the time, so there's seven church ages, seven literal churches in John's day, in the year 90 when he wrote this, was recorded this by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then we find those seven churches, and you can go right down the line. You can find these churches in any given town today. They're still present. And this term he uses, I know thy works. In other words, I know what you're made of. And so he gives us what that church of Laodicea is. But there was a church age of 1700 to 1900, the Philadelphia church. It was the only true church. They stayed true to the Word of God, and they stayed true to the name of Jesus. Those two things are what's stated about the Church of Philadelphia. They stayed true to the Word of God and true to the name Jesus, proclaiming Jesus and Him alone for salvation. And so then we come and we back up here. Well, when all the Protestant churches were born, When the breakaway came from the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church were born, they called it the Reformation. But the Reformation didn't change very long. And Martin Luther, when he nailed those 95 theses to the door of the church, proclaimed that we are saved by grace, not by works. Well, it didn't take long that all the kind of things developed back into where we were back into works again. Back to thinking we had to do something for our salvation. We had to join a certain church or be baptized or certain works. We have to continue to have our salvation. Well, Jesus gives that as a gift to each one of us if we'll just come by faith to Him. And then we come to the church of Thyatira. And when we came to the church of Thyatira, Rome at this time really took control, and the sad thing is that the difference between Thyatira and Philadelphia is here we're saved by grace, we have joy in our heart, we have wisdom God gives us, the church of Thyatira was built upon fear. Fear. You must do this or you're going to go to hell. You must do this or you must, or you're going to face the burning fires of hell. All those things. But the joy of it is that Jesus and God's plan is not a plan of fear. It's a plan of peace and of joy. And so to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and invite him into your heart is such a joy and such a privilege, not a religion of fear. What happens when we come to the place of a religion of fear, it'll always be controlled by man. Man controls it. Man sets the points out. Well, why would man do that? It's because if you're going to bring a good offering in, then I'm going to tell you that if you don't tithe, you're going to go to hell. If you don't join this church, you're going to go to hell. If you don't be baptized, you're going to go to hell. Well, all those things are contrary to the Word of God. We are saved by grace, and the love of God will come into your heart, and the joy will be there. You can all join this church and go to hell. You can all tithe and give 20% and go to hell. Because the only way that you're going to keep your soul and your life and your body out of the fires of hell is to come by faith to Jesus. It is a free gift that's handed to you. Not because you join a certain church or give so much money or any of those things. And God not only saves you, but he also seals you. The compromising church. That's when, you know, Constantine, he decided that it was good to be a Christian. And so he brought folks in, and then he decided that, you know, everybody should be a Christian. So then he demanded that everybody join the church. Well, people weren't born again. They weren't saved by the cross of Calvary, but they were named Christians. And so then you had the lost and you had the saved and you had a compromising church. And that's what you had here. Smyrna, they paid an awful price because they were a martyred church. And we had dictators out of Rome that persecuted the believers, and they set out to destroy them. And there were 10 years of the most horrible martyring of Christians during that period of time. And then we come to the first church, and that's Ephesus. You see the year, 33 to 100. Jesus was crucified on the cross and rose again the year 33. And yet, almost immediately, they begin to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to serve other gods. So, in a summary there, as we find the Sardis humanism come in, what do we have today? It is rampant in the church today with the humanism. Smyrna had no condemnation. They will receive the crown of life. The church of Ephesus, the last words to them was, remember, repent, and return. Very clear and very special words. Now, we find that today, the church is literally lying to God. And by lying, they're saying, I have need of nothing. And we're talking about spiritually. We're talking about coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I have need of nothing. Now, when we say those four horrible words, we are telling the creator of the world that we literally have everything. I don't need salvation. I don't need my sins forgiven. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. And especially what you're saying is, you do not need Jesus. Now, you can say, listen, I go to church. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe those things. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe it in your heart because you're truly born again? Or do you believe it in your mind because you read the Word of God? The Word of God tells me that. Yeah, okay, I agree with that. There is a difference between knowing Jesus as your personal Savior and just believing in that, yes, that exists. Now, you say, I don't understand. I'm going to ask you just to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus and say, please, Lord Jesus, would you save me? Would you come into my heart and save me? And if you'll do that, you're going to find that the lie that you've been taught concerning some religion is just that, and Jesus can come and save you. All right, we come here now, and we look at these scripture verses in verse 18. We got down to 18, but in 17, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The Laodicean church thought that they had everything. Now today you can drive to many communities. When we go up to the doctor in Mayo's up at Rochester, we drive by several, and a couple that really come to mind that are monstrous, beautiful buildings. Beautiful buildings. Thousands, literally thousands, maybe 25, 30,000 people attend there. The question is, what's inside? Is the Word of God proclaimed? Or is some of these mega churches where they have the McDonald's and the fast food so you can go get your sandwich, sit down at a table, lean back and watch a screen? Or you can go in, if you want to be formal, you can go into the church service and listen to the preacher. But either way, when you're compromising like that, when you've left the beautiful old hymns, when you've left the Word of God, all it is a place that feels like I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, that God tells them otherwise. God tells them otherwise. They're in poverty. They are naked when it comes to their sin. They have no idea that they're sinners and they're lost. They're blind. God does not command them, the church of Laodicea, this church age now, he does not command them to repent. But what he does is counsel them. Because that's what the rest word, the next word comes. I counsel thee to buy of me. Will you please listen? Will you please come? The Lord Jesus is begging folks to come by faith to Jesus. He offers them, he counsels them to take care of their poverty, of their nakedness, of their blindness. And we find over in verse 20 that he is standing at the door and knocking. Now, I need you to understand, and we've talked about this once before, the church has cast out the Lord Jesus. Man has said, I don't need you to guide me. I don't want you to guide me. I do not need salvation. So please, please, stay away. Get out. That's what the church has done. The church has thrown out the Lord Jesus. Now, what would happen to me or to you if we would throw you out of this building? I don't want you here. would you turn around and start knocking on that door? Please. Please, would you let me come in? I want to come back. I want to be here. No, we'd walk away and says, forget you. But you see, the love that Jesus has for his church and the love that he has for each individual soul, is it doesn't matter that he was cast out. He's still standing right there, knocking on that door, just waiting. All these years, for 2,000 years, he's been standing at that door. He's been knocking at that door. Please, please. And you know the saddest thing is that there has not been one single person opened that door. Some people say it's going to be a great revival before Jesus comes to get his church. No, there's not going to be any great revival. That great revival was 100 years ago. And it's over. It's over. Lukewarm. You know what it means to spew you out of your mouth? It means to vomit you up. That's how appalled God is at the condition of the church today. He wants us to come, and he wants us to listen, and he's knocking on that door. Here is his counsel. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. Buy of me. All right, get your pocketbooks out. Get your billfold out. I want to see some money. And you know what Isaiah 55 says? He that hath no money, come, buy, and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. It's free. It's free. Salvation is free. And once you come by faith to Jesus and believe, he comes and he seals you, never to separate himself from you again. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. Without money, without price. Gold purified by the fire points to the wonderful righteousness of our God. What a joy. To know the Lord Jesus. To come by faith. We hear the word of God. That opens the door for the Spirit of God to come and knock on that heart's door. At that point in time, it's you, it's me that have a choice. To say yes or to say no. And if you say yes, then what happens? The Spirit of God will come in and he will show you who you are. He'll show me who I am. He'll show me the old rotten, filthy sinner that I am. But it doesn't stop there. Then he says, here, take my hand. I have taken every sin away when I died on the cross. I've been waiting for you to come. Please, come. It's just that simple. Just please come. And when you do, when you put out your hand, when you say yes, he comes in. He saves you. He seals you. What a joy. And then the opportunities opened up for the wisdom of God and the joy of God and the service of God and all those wonderful things that we get to do when you know Jesus as your Savior. To know the righteousness of God. Without the Lord Jesus, we're the poorest. With the Lord Jesus, we are the richest to possess what he has. The white raiment. Now, we have a couple of things here. Buy, counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. You see, he wants to come into your life. He wants to save you. But it's your choice. That white raiment. we possess as believers the breastplate of righteousness, to be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That's what comes the day that you accept Jesus as your Savior. It's not anything that you and I can earn. It is given to us, this precious breastplate of righteousness. And it will free us from the shame of the nakedness of our sin. And the next is to, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. The best example, and if you've been here in the past, you've heard us refer to something called the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a tent-like building that Moses received the plans for when he was at Mount Sinai. Now, you ask most people, you know, Moses went up to Mount Sinai after they left Egypt. What did Moses get? Got the Ten Commandments. He got the law. That's the only thing anybody knows. No one knows anything about the tabernacle. But the tabernacle gives us a wonderful picture of our life and of the ability to learn, to study, and to know the Word of God. We're going to start out here, and the first item when you come into the courtyard is a brazen altar. That's where the sacrifices are offered, all right? That clearly stands for the Lord Jesus because he gave his life for us, sacrificed his life. So that's first. Next comes the laver. Now here's where many people are stuck because they do come by faith to Jesus and they're born again. But they don't enjoy the privileges of being a Christian because they come to this brazen laver. That too is made of brass. Brass in the Word of God stands for judgment. In that is the water. Water stands for the Word of God. How do we change? How do we clean our life up? How do we grow in the Lord Jesus? It's the washing. But many times as you wash, and as I've shared all many, many times, when I'd help Granddad, we'd come in, Grandma would holler out, and she had a big bell, and she'd ring the bell, and we knew it was lunchtime, and so we'd come to the house. Well, Grandpa and I'd be out in the hay field or whatever, and we'd be all dirty and messy, and so we'd come to the back of the house, and back there was an old cistern, and you crank that cistern, and here poured the water out. We had a little pan, and Grandpa had two little stools there, and so you put the one first one there, and you'd wash your hands, and I can still smell that old ivory and lava soap. That's the only thing that was underneath there. And if you've ever used lava soap, why, it takes one layer of skin off. That's how it cleans your hands. And so you sit there and you wash your hands. And I would do it, and Grandpa would do it, and we'd pitch that old dirty water out a couple of times before we'd get to go into the house. I guarantee you that if we went in that house with dirty hands, Grandma would have thrown us out just as fast as we went in. We knew we had to be clean and washed before we could go in there. Our God's the same way. We need to wash. We need to be cleansed. A lot of people don't like that. I had to scrub and I had to wash. And I can still see Grandpa. He'd take me by the ear and see whether my ears were dirty before we even go in the house. I don't know what that had to do with eating dinner. But he wanted to know that I was decent to go into the house. Well, sometimes that scrubbing hurts. People don't like that. So they get stuck between the brazen altar. They're saved. And between the brazen laver, they don't like the washing. They don't like somebody saying, and the Holy Spirit being the one, you need to change. Here's what you need to do. And you know, if you do it, God only... You don't have to be totally changed immediately, because none of us are. And God knows how much he's going to scrub off. And then he's going to say, okay, go inside. And there's two rooms, the holy place and the holy of holies. And in the holy place, there's a table of showbread. We can feed, grow, learn. But there's only one way you're going to know where that bread is located. And that's because of the light that's in the tabernacle, in this room. There is no natural light comes into this room. The only light that's in there is the lampstand. This lampstand's pure gold. This lampstand has oil in it. This lampstand, you trim the wicks. The only light is this lampstand, and this lampstand without question stands for the Lord Jesus. The only way we can know the Word of God, grow in the Word of God, is to have Jesus show us by His Spirit. This is the eye salve that we're talking about here. You need to be able to see. You're saying right now, I don't see this. Well, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I know you don't see it. And I'm so sorry that you don't see it. But if you'll open up your heart, you'll begin to see these truths that we're talking about. You will be able to witness them and see them. We need to see spiritually. We need that lampstand in our life in order for us to know the Word of God and study the Word of God. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We cannot understand nor look into it without that. Now, we look at verse 19 here, and as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. This statement not only refers to the Laodicean church, it refers to all the churches. It refers to every believer. As the Lord Jesus wants us to grow and wants us to change, He begins to deal with us and change us and chastise us sometimes. Chapter 23, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's the direction He wants us to go. He wants to lead us in the way of righteousness. And so the path that He gives us, as we come to that brazen laver and the scrubbing begins, it is only for our good that we can serve Him and praise Him and walk with Him. But we find that this church of Laodicea is neither hot nor cold. They're not for you. They're not against you. I don't care. They could not repent. They have no excitement in their life to be born again because they are past feeling, as we've got at the bottom. Past feeling. Cold. We say lukewarm here, but we have to almost use the word they're so cold that they will not hear anything. But you know someone that will agree with you, and then they're talking to somebody else, and they'll agree with them. Well, that's very sad. Because if you agree with me, yes, I need to be born again, and then you go and speak to someone else, and you say, no, I know if I'm baptized, then I'll be saved. Look to the Word of God. Stand for the truth. God is very sad because the lampstand has been taken. The light of Jesus, His light, has been removed from the church today. As I said, these are seven church ages, seven literal churches in the day that John wrote this, and there are seven literal churches today that still are in existence. But the bulk, the main church today is of the Laodicean church age. They are lukewarm. God is no longer present in there to guide and to lead. And the Lord Jesus has been pushed out. God's grace is so great, He's standing on the outside, desiring to come in. What does He say here? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Verse 20, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. What great fellowship that Jesus offers. But you've got to open that door. I don't know how many of you have seen the picture that was painted of this very scene. There's no doorknob on the outside. No doorknob. Jesus will not force His way into your life. He wants to come in. He desires to come in. He desires to rule and reign in your life. But unless you open that door, He will still remain standing on the outside. He will not intrude. He will not come where He is not welcome. But the words are so sweet. If you open that door, sup means I will come in fellowship with you. That's what he desires. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 10:9 tells us, whosoever will. There is not one single person. And then verse 21 and 22 in closing, to him that overcometh. And we're out of time, but I went to Hebrews 12 and Hebrews chapter 5, John chapter 10, and it gives us wonderful examples how our Lord and Savior overcame. He overcome. He went to the cross. He asked his Father, is there any way I don't have to do this? And yet he said, thy will be done. He overcame. We can overcome. Jesus died. No man killed the Lord Jesus. He died willingly. He laid his life down at the command of his Father. He was obedient to his Father. We need to overcome. That doesn't mean that if we don't overcome, we're going to lose our salvation, because that's promised us. The overcome here is service. The overcome is obedience. The overcome is to work and to enjoy each day serving the Lord. Salvation is free. It's a gift given to each one of us if you'll just accept it. But to overcome, that is discipleship. That's victory. That is something that we earn. And in our Lord and Savior's case, it was a tremendous cost. He died on the cross to overcome. He paid the price. We need just to walk with him each day. As we look at that last verse of 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear. We have heard that seven times. And I've repeated it multiple times. Do you have an ear? Are you hearing? Are you listening to what the Lord Jesus is telling you? The Holy Spirit, Jesus said when he left this earth, he said, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the one that can come and speak to your heart. But you got to let him in. You got to open that door. It's the only way. There's a great path of victory to everyone that'll come. A great path of victory. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we have spent many, many weeks on these seven churches, it's so sad to see that end times is a time of sadness and of failure, of refusing to trust in you as our Savior. I thank you, Father, that you have still come. You still are here to anyone that will open that door, to anyone that stays as the Church of Philadelphia stayed true to your word and continued to proclaim your name. And that means that name is proclaimed for salvation, for victory in life, for everything. And we should never back away from that name and not add it to some works, some church that we have to attend, some rules that we have to keep. You have paid it all. Man has brought us into a place of fear. I am worried. I hope that I go to heaven. I just hope that I've done everything right. That's none other than the devil himself. And anyone proclaims those rules and ways is a servant of the devil. We come, we serve you, we praise your name, and we lift you up. And I pray, Father, that we never stop doing that. Speak to all the hearts now today, those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior. They've never come. They've never had that opportunity. And it's a time that you never, ever forget. It's something you do once, but it's something you never forget. And, Father, if there's folks here that are halfway between that brazen laver and that back at the altar, they can't come. They just refuse to serve you and to walk with you. Please today, Father, just examine their hearts and show us all, Father, how we need to serve you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.